Hi, I'm Pinakin Munshi, and today we are going to cover the topic of international packaging. So what are the learning objectives that we have here? Understand the need and importance of international packaging. Understand the types of packaging standards. Understand the various factors which determine the type of packaging. Understand various international standards in packaging. Understand the advantages and disadvantages of various methods of international packaging methods. Understand the checklist to be adopted by the global sourcing manager. Gain understanding of various recommendations by international logistics providers for packaging needs. So what is the structure and the content of this particular chapter? First, we'll have the introduction and the key aspects of proper packaging, type of packaging, factors affecting the type of packaging, packaging standards in international sourcing, advantages and disadvantages of the international packing methods, checklist for global sourcing manager for the packaging requirement, illustrative general guidelines on packaging. We will take the example of FedEx Express guidelines, trends in international packaging. So, what are the key objectives of a proper packaging? So one is reduction in the product to market time. Proper packaging will, you know, ensure that there are no delays. The product can be quickly put on shelf, if it's a consumer product or so, or can be very easily retrieved for use at the production shop level. Reduction in the damages and the product losses. So the key objective of proper packaging is also to prevent any damages. That means during transit, during movement of the goods are protected and there are no losses or damages to the goods. Balancing distribution and transportation cost with the product packaging cost. So you can have transportation or distribution arrangement which will take extreme care of your packaging, which is going to cost you more. So the question is, there has to be an optimal level or a balance between your distribution and transportation cost and the packaging cost. So if you're going to, use the regular transportation, etc., then you need to invest a lot more in packaging meant towards enhancing the customer satisfaction. So basically, that's one sentence. So what are the kind of or types of packaging? One is the primary packaging, which constitutes the first level of packaging of the product. So if you look at a box of cornflakes, you will find that the cornflakes are packed in a cardboard box with, the product description on it. And inside the box, you will find that there is a polyester foil poly kind of a pouch, in which the product is actually packed. So the pouch which is there inside the box, that becomes the primary packaging. The outer box that you have becomes the secondary packaging. Take the case of toothpaste. The toothpaste tube becomes the primary packaging, and the outer box or the carton, you can say, is the secondary packaging. So what is secondary packaging? Secondary level consists of intermediate levels. It is very essential to have it labeled for the recipient, giving information about the contents. So as we saw in case of cornflakes, you will not have any product details on the primary packaging. All the details are on the secondary packaging. But in case of toothpaste, could be that there is product information or content information on both the primary as well as the secondary packaging. The tertiary packaging, third level of packaging, which can be the outer box or shipping container that contains the secondary packaging. Now, actually, if you look at it in reality, the tertiary packaging in case of the cornflakes or the toothpaste could be a carton, corrugated box carton that becomes the tertiary packaging. And imagine if this is the product that you are going to export, you will further maybe palletize this, carton and then put it in a container or so. So you can have multiple level of packaging. Another example which is given as a tertiary packaging here is the shipping containers, you know, the what we call as the full container loads, which come in 20 feet and 40 feet and in various configurations. So it's possible that certain products, you don't need to palletize them. You can directly stuff them in a container. Even when, you know, you have certain bulk cargoes, which are low density, like for example, the polymer granules, etc. Many times they do not, pack it on a pallet or so. It is directly stuffed in a container. So factors affecting the types of packaging. One is dimension, weight, center of gravity of the product. So as we, talked about the polymer granules, you know, because the density is low, you can directly stuff it in a container. Maybe other products which are heavier cannot be packed in a similar way. Maybe they need to be palletized. The unitized load, as we call it, you know, so will be much smaller. Many a times you will have a pallet which will occupy the entire space from floor to, the ceiling of the container. At times you will have pallets which are half the size. That means you are going to stack the pallets one above the other in a container. So the dimension of the material that you are shipping, the way it is to be handled, if it's a very heavy cargo, then you cannot, have a very large packing because even you have to look at the handling equipment like a forklift truck or so, which is going to either stuff the container or de-stuff the container. So dimensions, weight, center of gravity, sensitivity of the cargo and the external conditions. So how sensitive the cargo is, to any kind of jerks. If it's a delicate cargo, then you will not actually have a very large dimension packaging for it. You will have a smaller dimension packaging, which can be easily managed, easily handled. Base surface area of the product. What is the floor space that the product is going to occupy? Kind of transport and storage period required for the cargo. I don't need to explain that. Intended transit methods and storage requirement. So during the transit, how it is going to be handled? For example, if you're going to, stuff the container at your production site and take it to the shipping, port. And let us say that the distance you are going to cover is something like 200 kilometers and the roads are bad, then you will have to take care of your packaging because there could be a lot of damage which could happen while the material is being transported on the road because of the bumps or, the bad road conditions. There is a jerking and, this is going to have a hammering effect of the cargo on the material which is stored below. So you have to consider all these factors while selecting the type of packaging. So what are the packaging standards? Now first we'll look at the air freight. So packaging standards are defined by International Air Transport Association, also called as IATA. Primary receptacles must be packed in secondary packaging. So in air transport, generally, we have this secondary packaging which is packed into a tertiary packaging, and maybe then there could be another form of packaging also on top. So many a times you already have, let's say, cartons which are being transported, but you may further have to even palletize it. And mind you, for air freight, the pallets will be much smaller, but to make it a unitized load, you may have to do that. If you are transporting certain liquids, then you cannot, if they are dangerous liquids or so, or maybe not exactly dangerous, you will also have to have a outer packaging with some, buffering material, so that in case there is any leakage or so, the leakage will not actually come out of the secondary packaging. The secondary packaging must be secured in outer packaging with the suitable cushioning material. So cushioning material will be absorbent materials, which not only absorb the material in case there is a leakage or so, because in air, when an aircraft flies at, something like 36,000 feet, there is low pressure inside the aircraft. And many a times, if the content inside the secondary packaging or primary packaging develops a positive pressure and it can tend to leak out. So even the quality of the packaging material has to be such that it can withstand this kind of pressures. But in case it still leaks, you know, through the seals or the lid, etc., then the material inside should be capable of absorbing, you know, the liquid which is leaking out, so that it doesn't leak out of the outer packaging. General requirements include the packaging must be of good quality, strong enough to withstand the shocks and loading. So even while we are handling it, you know, up to the airport, the shocks, the jerks, it should be able to withstand it. So especially if it's a fragile product, then that's all the more important. So let's look at what are the packaging standards for sea freight. So subject to the booking request, select the most suitable container type to accommodate the cargo. Now, why do you say that most suitable container type? Because, you know, there are various kind of containers. There are containers which are totally sealed. There are containers which are open from the top. There are containers where only the floor portion is there. So when you are actually transporting heavy equipment, etc., you may not be able to actually put the equipment into a container, you know, in the usual way with a forklift or so. You may have to actually load the equipment into the container from the top. So in such cases, you have to choose a container which is open from the top or it's open on all the sides. It may be just protected by, you know, canvas or some such protective material. Prepare a pre-stow plan before commencing the stuffing so that the weight volume considerations are covered and point loading limits are observed. So you need to, if it's an equipment, you know, the equipment may not be very symmetrical and there could be a weight distribution which is not uniform. So you have to be very careful that the weight is uniformly distributed between the points where the container is going to be picked up, so that there is no tilting or there is no undue load which is coming on the cranes and the derricks which are actually handling the container. Never load by weight above the payload limit of the container. That is, the cargo and the container net weight must not exceed the container's gross safe working load. Now, every container will have a gross working load. The weight of the container is already provided, which is the tare weight of the container, and they will also mention what is the maximum load that you can have for the container. You reverse calculate, you will know what is the net load that you can put inside. The net load you can put inside is nothing but the maximum gross weight of your consignment. So that should never be exceeded. Normally, the shipping company will not accept your load if you give a declaration that the load is more than the max working load or the gross safe working load. Never load by weight above the road regulations applicable on the transit. So even when you are stuffing the container, let's say at your manufacturing unit and transporting it to the seaport, you will have to take care that the trailer or the truck which is going to carry the container, whatever are the axle rated, you know, weights, those are not exceeded. As you know, for ordinary trucks, you have weight restrictions, like, you know, you can load up to 9 tons or 12 tons or 16 tons, 21 tons, depending upon how many axles and what is the rating of the vehicle. Likewise, even for, you know, these container trailers, the weight restrictions are already mentioned. And you should ensure that the right kind of a trailer or a truck is placed by your forwarders, you know, so that you don't exceed that weight. So both these restrictions in terms of the gross safe working load for the container has to be observed. And also when you're transporting it to the seaport, you have to ensure that the vehicle is certified for carrying that kind of a gross weight, which is including the weight of the container. Packing standards, again, we are talking of sea freight. Distribute the weight of the cargo evenly over the floor of the container. So if you are, let's say, stuffing a container which is only half of the container load, then you have to distribute the load evenly. You cannot load the container only at one end or only half the container. Even if it is half a container, you have to ensure that on the floor, the entire container is covered. This will ensure that the load on the four pickup points, for the container is uniformly distributed. Never store heavy items in one section and light items in the another. So if you are having a mixed cargo and you have certain heavy items and certain light items, then the best thing is to actually distribute them equally. So either you can have it interspersed, or you keep the heavy cargo at the bottom and the light cargo on top. But you never keep them segregated, that heavy on one side and light on the other side, because this will result in the center of gravity being shifted to one side where the heavy cargo is being stored. The weight of the cargo should not exceed 60% within half the length rule. That means it should not so happen that 100% of the weight of the container, one side has 60% or more. So it should not exceed 60%. Up to 60%, there is slight imbalance which is there, can be actually accommodated by the handling equipment. Beyond that, it may be difficult. Now, at least, wherever you have cranes which are lifting, from the above, the tolerance is a little more. But imagine that you have, I'm sure you have seen the images of a forklift truck, those gigantic forklift trucks, which lift the container from the middle. That means the container actually extends on both the sides of the forklift truck. Now, in such a case, if there is more load on one side, you will find that the container and the forklift can both topple, and this can result in an accident. So this is very important. Do not store heavy goods on top of light goods. Very simple reason. If you are transporting material on the road, the heavy goods on top will have a hammering action every time there is a speed breaker or there is a pothole or anything. So it's always the case, you have to store the heavy items at the bottom and the light items on top. Because also the heavier items on top can crush the packaging of the items which are stored below and can also damage your goods. Store and secure all cargo tightly. So once you have stored the cargo inside the container, you have to actually make sure that they are secured. They will not move. There will be no movement of the cargo. So you have to put lashings, etc., by which even in transit, if there is a listing of the vessel or so, nothing will move inside. Nothing will roll or, slide inside the container. Observe all the handling instructions on cargo, such as do not drop or this side up. So, especially with liquids, etc., you always have to mark that this side up so that the cargo is never stored the other way around. And thus, you actually prevent, any leakage or any damage to the container. Mind you, the containers also have to be handed over to the shipping company in good condition. If you do not know, the shipping company may impose penalties. So any damage to the container, either due to leakage or any physical damage, you are liable, to compensate the shipping company for those damages. We have had instances where there was some accidental leakage and the container floor, which is normally a wooden floor, we had to pay a very heavy price for cleaning the chemical, because some of the chemicals need to be cleaned very with specialized methods. So one has to be very careful about these things. Store goods with sharp corners separate from other softer merchandise. So if there are goods, or goods or equipment which have got sharp corners, normally certain packaging is applied on the sharp corners to make sure that they don't damage either the container or the other merchandise which is there in the container. Softer material means cartons, etc., which is stored, corrugated boxes, which can get punctured or damaged. Use dividers and separating material as appropriate. So So many a times, if you know, the material, in case there is a leakage, can damage other material, then you have to use certain dividers or partitions. Even you are using certain kind of packing or lashing material sometimes, you know, as a divider, just to make sure that the cargo is tightly packed and there is no scope for movement. Where possible, with mixed loads, place packages containing liquid cargo on the bottom tires with dry cargo on the top. Common sense, liquid, if it leaks, the dry cargo should not get damaged. So dry cargo should be on top. The wet cargo is on top, any leakage will also damage the dry cargo. Use cargo liners for obnoxious cargoes such as hides and carbon black. So in case, you know, you have the animal hides or you have the carbon black, you know, which can damage the container, can spoil the container. Like I said, that you may have to actually pay for the cleaning charges, etc., or in extreme cases, replacement of the flooring of the container. So you can use certain liners, certain protective sheets below the container to ensure that the container doesn't get damaged. Do not use clamps or other loading devices unless the goods can withstand them. So you know, don't use any aids, handling aids on the packaging, unless the packaging is strong enough to withstand them. When loading dangerous goods, ensure that the IMDG code packaging requirements are always observed. So, International Maritime Dangerous Goods Code. This is the code which actually dictates how the goods should be handled, how they should be packed, how they should be transported. So, these codes have to be understood and they have to be followed. There is a special certification for IMDG code, and people who actually analyze it, they have to pass this particular exam and then they get a certificate. So, it's a very stringent code. I think we'll come to that a little later. Do not load goods in a container with damaged packing. So, if material or the packaging is already damaged, do not load it, because that's going to actually aggravate the situation. Also, the damaged packaging will lead to maybe damage to the container. Do not store wet and damp goods with dry goods. Because if goods are wet, normally even in containers, many times we are keeping the silica gel or some other, material which will actually remove the moisture from the container, because it can damage your goods. And especially this happens if you have goods coming in from a cold country. And, when the temperature change happens, there is a condensation which can occur. So, your goods can get damaged, there can be fungus formation. And we have seen this with pallets, because wooden pallets, they have to be heat treated. They have to be certified as heat treated. If there is a condensation of moisture, then many times you find that on the wood pallets, there is a fungus formation or there may be insect infestation. So, if such a thing happens, if you are exporting the goods, let's say to Europe or USA, your cargo may be actually withheld and they may even not allow it to be cleared, because any kind of fungus or insect, they will not allow it inside the country. Do not use dunnage or a packaging which is incompatible with the cargo. So, dunnage is basically, you know, you have various kinds of packing material or cushioning material, which is actually put between the cargo. So, if there is a space between, let's say, large packing, then you are putting this dunnage or the packaging material, which will actually fill the space and will ensure that the cargo does not move, so that there is no leaning or there is no damage to other material besides. Many cases, the dunnage is in the form, it's like a pillow. So, you put it between the pallets or between the heavy loads, and then you inflate it with compressed air. So, it will actually lock the pallets or the cargo in its place. So, use a dunnage which is compatible with the cargo. So, these are some of the examples of packaging. So you have the standard packaging, which is, you know, the corrugated boxes, the buckets, the wooden crates. You have the smaller packaging, flat packaging, and you have the elongated packaging. Thank you.